morning. I know it's probably 2 minutes early to start, but you know it's unusual that we start a little early, so we're just going to do that this morning. We're so glad that you're with us this beautiful Father's Day. Can you hear me okay? Can you hear me? I guess so. Good. But we're glad you're here. I know we probably have something for Father's Day. Great. Good. At that spot. Stand and greet each other before we begin. We're so glad that you're each here today. Lots of announcements in the bulletin that you are that's there for you to look at. Are there any special announcements this morning that we need to hear?
Yes, there are.
Prayer requests or praise reports this morning. Before we begin our service, to reflect and ask the Lord to be present with us today as we have the lighting of our candles. Worship is in your bulletin and it is responsive. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. Mm-hmm. God sent the Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. And it's a good lead into our first song, 106. Praise Him, praise Him. Stand with me. Let's do all three verses.
From thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory part of it.
Amen.
Now let's state our faith through the Apostles' Creed. Though God is so mysterious, He still allows us to know a bit about it. Let's say what we know about it.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Confession this morning is found in 1 John. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We have an opportunity this week to confess in unison together, and let's do that. Almighty God, You poured Your Spirit upon gathered disciples, creating bold tongues, open ears, and a new community of faith. We confess that we hold back the force of Your Spirit among us. We do not listen for Your work of grace, speak the good news of Your love, or live as a people made one in Christ. Have mercy on us, O God. Transform our human lives by the power of Your Spirit, and fill us with a flaming desire to be Your faithful people, doing Your will, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. First John gives us also an assurance of forgiveness. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Turn your hymnal to 505. Love lifted me. We'll sing the first verse, then the third verse, and then the refrain. Thank you.
There is a name I love to hear. I love to see its words. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. It tells me of a Savior's love, who died to set me free. It tells me of His precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me.
Let's try it.
our fathers, will all the men sing in observance of Father's Day. Whether you're a father or not, you're somebody's father in the Lord. So stand up. All the men.
Do we have a CPW, our Christian Education Committee person here? Don't make it speak. Maybe we have a fatherly testimony from a father. All impromptu. Or about a father. Bill.
Offertory sentence this morning is found in Hebrews. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess His name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Will our ushers come forward, please?
All the love that you could ever need. Thank you for loving us enough to send you to lift us from sin to salvation, from darkness to light. Lord, as we gather for an offering, we pray that you would use us not only to give of our substance, but to bear fruit through our lips as we give praise to you and your Son Jesus Christ. In his name, we offer our praise. Amen.
We have a couple of contemporary songs that the Wednesday night crowd, Savetta said, is going to know these great. So you're going to have to sing out the Wednesday night crowd, okay? And Savetta and I are sort of going to lead this together, right? All right, the first one is Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. See you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
Just one thing from you. Do Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, you are now trying to attain your goal by human efforts. Have you suffered so much for nothing? If it really was for nothing, does God give you His Son and work His miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you heard? Consider Abraham. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. The Scripture foresaw that God was justified to the Gentiles by faith and announced the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. All who rely on observing the law are under a curse, for it is written, "Cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law." Clearly, no one is justified before God by the law, because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, the man who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree." He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, so that by faith we might receive a promise of the Spirit, the Word of God for the people of God.
Have openings for others who want to lead in worship and who will lead in worship. And Lisa has, the secretary has not become real persistent in writing and asking, and she kind of sent out an email or two and didn't receive a response. We got some people on regular Sundays. Most every Sunday, I think, to lead, but others, especially when we have people on vacation, have special days like Father's Day and vacation time. There are opportunities for others to lead in worship. This morning, Peggy ended up leading the singing. Singing the special and be the worship leader also. Now, I can do it, but it's good to use other people. That's my excuse. I don't mind doing it, but it's still good to have you in the congregation to lead the worship. And if you want to write on one of those little note cards and say, "I'm willing to lead in worship," just give me a call or email me. We'd be pleased for you to do that. Last week we talked about sin, and Here, can you help me out? Oh, I guess we may be ready now. Connection detail. I don't know where to go after that. Can you do it? Can I do it from here? This will work, right? Okay, we'll just use this. So I'm sorry to. I'm trying to learn some things, and I'm a little slow on learning. Probably always been that way. I started to talk about sin and the reality of sin, the fact of sin, that all are cursed by sin. Started with Adam, and then talk about that we cannot save ourselves, but God sent Jesus to save us. This morning we want to dwell a little bit more on God sending Jesus, or the inability of God's people, God's creation, to save themselves. It's up to Him. We try everything sometimes but God's way. And entitle this one, God Helps the Helpless, or Man's Inability to Save Himself and God's Remedy. One classic passage about people who began their Christian life by following Jesus, trusting Him for their salvation, and then going back and trying to depend upon their works for their salvation, or their own efforts, is Galatians chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. The purpose this morning, I hope, my goal or my purpose is to show that the Bible tells us that we cannot save ourselves and that our salvation depends on Jesus. And then invite people, you, if you have not trusted Jesus or if you kind of wandered away from trusting Jesus for your salvation, that you would trust Him. What is the setting for this? The Apostle Paul is writing to Christians at Galatia. He is explaining again. He said, I told you this when I was with you, that salvation from sin is through faith in Jesus Christ and not by works, or in this case, by obeying the law, because Judaizers had come into this Christian community and said, oh, you can't be saved by only your faith. You've got to go through the rituals of the Jewish law. And I invite you now to look at what the Apostle Paul writes. And just kind of follow me, if you will, through these 14 verses. Verse 1, he calls the Galatians foolish. Now, he didn't say, you fools, but one interpretation might lead to that. I don't know of one, but we could kind of interpret. He said, folks, you're being foolish. You were trusting in Jesus, and now you are not. And then he asked them how, if they received the Spirit originally. Tell me, he said. So he's writing a letter. I guess he's expecting to write back to him. I want to know, or let me know, how you first came to be blessed by the Spirit of God, or how you received salvation. And then in verse 2, he talks about, did you do it by law, obedience to the law, or did you do it by your faith in Jesus Christ? By law or by faith? And then in verse 3, keeps asking. I'm wondering if they read this letter, if they said, he keeps asking so many questions. And he did, because he cared for the people. He wanted them to know salvation. And he knew that the only way for salvation was through faith. And he asked them if they had changed to trusting in the flesh. If you'd like to, you just read verse 3. Are you so foolish? Twice he's used the word foolish. After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Are you trying to be in fellowship with God or freed from sin and on your way to heaven? Are you trying to maintain eternal life, your relationship with God through we call eternal life? Are you trying to do it by your human efforts? Going back and being circumcised? Going through the other Jewish rituals? And he calls them foolish for doing this. Then we move to verse 7. He begins to talk about Abraham. And every learned Jew had been trained in the way of Abraham. They could refer back to who Abraham was. And he starts talking about them tells them that only those who are of faith are really sons of Abraham. Jesus had to deal with those who were claiming to be descendants of Abraham because of their obedience to the law. He talked about believing in Him, what made them sons of Abraham. And here the Apostle Paul is saying essentially the same thing that Jesus was saying. Then we move to verse 10 and 11. He says that people under the law are under a curse. And as you read the rest of that, he explains why. As he quotes a passage of Scripture which said, if you're going to break any part of the law, you're guilty of all the law. If you're going to break any part of the law, you're guilty of all the law. But no one had been, quote, good enough to keep all of the law. If you break it in one point or miss it in one point, you're guilty of the whole law. And then he says in verse 11, he says, the just live by faith. The just live by faith. And then he says in verse 13 that Christ Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law, becoming a curse for us. And he quotes another passage of Scripture and says that he who hangs on a tree is cursed, or cursed. We say blessed, I guess we'd have to say cursed, wouldn't we? Or maybe just cursed. He who hangs on a tree is cursed. And Jesus was cursed by hanging on the tree. That was the curse was upon him. Jesus took our place on the tree. He became a curse in our stead or for us. Then there are many places that Paul has written about our inability to save ourselves, or the fact that we can't save ourselves. One place is in Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. Verse 5. God saved us, he says to Titus. This is Paul writing to Titus. God saved us not because of righteous things that we had done, but because of his mercy. We might say of some person, they really don't deserve to be saved. You know those people, don't you, that you think they don't deserve to be saved? So they've been scoundrels all their life? Well, actually, none of us deserve to be saved. It's not promoting a scandalous lifestyle. It's just the fact. God does not save us because of our goodness. We'll see in a moment how good our goodness is. Filthy rag. That's the part I'm referring to. But he saves us because he's a merciful God. He saves us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. That's how he saved us, but he did it because of his mercy. He saved us through Jesus. He writes to the Galatians in chapter 2, verse 16, we'll quote. He says, we Jews, associating himself with the Jewish community in which he was born, he'd been well trained, much learning. He says, we Jews know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. We read the passage for the scripture lesson, chapter 3, but he had already, in that letter to them, says that we are justified or we are forgiven. We stand before God without sin against us because of our faith in Jesus Christ, or by our faith in Jesus Christ. And then Paul writes to the Ephesians. He didn't just write this to one group, salvation by faith. He wrote it over and over and over to each group he wrote to. It is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Our salvation is a gift of God. Then he adds in there, not of works, stressing it's not of works, so that no one can boast. So the prodigal son's brother, the stay-at-home brother, he wanted to say, I've worked harder. I didn't squander my money. I've lived a better life. He wasn't willing to forgive. To the Romans, in chapter 3, verse 20, Paul writes that no one will be declared righteous by observing the law. Law makes us aware of sin and tells us that we need to get rid of it, that we're not right with God. It just makes us aware. Someone, one place it's called the law is called the schoolmaster. We don't just take what Paul says. We go back to the writer of the book of Proverbs. And he says that there's a way that seems right unto man, but the way thereof is the way of death, or I think the NIV version says, the way that seems right, but that way leads to death. And if I was doing the planning, and if I was the overseer of the world, you could make all the plans for who would get into heaven and who would be separated, and I'd probably say, seems right to me. That's a good. Receive God's blessing. It seems right to me that the good ought to go to heaven. But Paul is saying, though it may seem right, that way leads to death. And then the prophet Isaiah, we used this one last Sunday, the filthy rags passage. All of our righteousness, or all of our obedience to the law, when it comes to our salvation, it's just like filthy rags if we bring them and present them to God. Filthy rags. What do we do with them? Put them on the trash heap. Some of us save them. Filthy rags. What's God's solution for our sin? Romans 5:8, again, Paul writing to the Romans. Says, scarcely or hardly ever will a man die for a righteous man, or a good man. Maybe for a righteous man, someone would die. But God showed His love for us that while we were yet sinners, and while we were so unrighteous, while we were far from God, while we were living in rebellion, Christ died for us. Then he goes on to say, Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but God has come to give us a gift. God has come to give us a gift. The gift of salvation. The gift of God is eternal life. Someone pointed out the other day, I'm not sure where I heard this, something we've all known, if you talk about have our sins forgiven
so that we can go to heaven.
They pointed out that Jesus didn't die just to forgive our sins. And they put it in words, what we've been preaching, and maybe not using these words. He didn't die just to forgive our sins. He died also to make it possible for us to live. Actually, he rose to new life after his death to show us that we too can have life. And then John 14, verse 6. Here Jesus is speaking. Jesus says, I am the way.
The way where?
The way to God. The way to heaven. The way out of sin. If you want to be saved from something. And we need to be saved from something. But it's from sin, from Satan, unto fellowship with God. Fellowship with God. Also, Jesus said, Peter said, Jesus had died and was buried and rose again and he had already ascended. Peter and John were brought before the Sanhedrin. That was the Jewish court, the people in authority. They were kind of in charge. As much as the Romans would allow them to be in charge. And they said, you've been preaching this man Christ that was crucified. We're making outlandish claims about it, etc., etc. Then we want you to stop. Peter's the spokesman. He spoke up and he wasn't about to stop, and he let them know he wasn't about to stop, and he said, salvation is in no other person except in Jesus Christ. In this passage, as you go back and read it, chapter 4, verse 12, Peter preaches to them as he was moved by the Holy Spirit. He said, if you're hoping to experience salvation, eternal life, it's got to be through Jesus. There's no other name given under heaven whereby men may be saved except Jesus Christ alone. Also, Jesus' words back when he was upon the earth, words to Zacchaeus. He said that he had come to seek and to save the lost. Then again, what the Apostle Paul said. He is writing to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, about to draw to the end a conclusion. His first letter to the Corinthians. And he says, I've already passed this on to you. Now he's doing it in a letter. Of first importance, that Christ died for our sins. Christ died for our sins. Who are you trusting in for your salvation? Your goodness? It won't get you there. It won't get you saved. But you can't be good enough. Trust in Jesus. Jesus says it. Paul says it. It's throughout the Bible. Even Abraham was justified before God because of his faith. Even before the law was given. Let's stand and sing 336. Let's sing the first and the second stanza. It's Jesus, I come. And this may be the day that you decide that you're trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If it is, we'd like you to share that with us here in the altar. 336.
Thank you.
believe that you provided a way for salvation, eternal life, when we could not do it ourselves. And now, Lord, we pray that as your redeemed people, the trusted Jesus and our trusted Jesus, that you will so direct our lives that we would live lives that would glorify you, not to earn our salvation, but to say to the world that we are saved. Invite the world to come with us. In Jesus' name we pray.